B-Pod Studios.
Temple University Zone, Phoenix High School Zone, and Phoenixville High School Zone, Kevin Agande of ESPN. What's up, Kevin?
Good morning, guys. How we doing? It's been a while. I thought you guys forgot about me. Or I was too negative the last time I was on.
No.
Impossible. No, we know that you're a busy man up there in Bristol. You're a bigwig, my friend. You got things to do. We don't want to impose.
Well, I love you guys. And honestly, it's good to be back and talk to you guys just because, to be honest, I think the Sixers have given given the city some hope when we talk about our sports teams, and it's an amazing turnaround after, you know, one day of working the phones, and clearly there's a buildup to it, but one day when we see it on draft night with Daryl Morey and that new front office is done with Doc Rivers, it's just exciting because the idea that you could pull the magic trick and get Horford's contract off the books and you can get younger and add shooters, it just gives you an idea of where this franchise is going in the next 2 years and how they understand that they have two foundational pieces and they've got to surround them with guys that can score and that can shoot in space. And it was a refreshing night, let me tell you, after the weekend that we saw with the Philadelphia football team.
Oh, certainly. And we haven't even asked a question yet. It's beautiful. And that's
the best.
It's just poetry.
Kevin.
Just poetry you're oozing there, Mr. Nagandi. The other aspect of this is that a lot of people are trying to temper expectations just a little tiny bit here, where we're excited about what the Sixers did in one night. But in no way does that mean that we're predicting some type of finals run right now. So what's the next move you'd like to see Daryl Morey make?
Mark, you nailed it, by the way. They're not going to win the championship on draft night.
My man.
What they did was you set the pieces up, right? We've got less than 5 weeks from the season opener. You set the pieces up for Doc to understand how this team can fit together. And that is spacing, right? And it comes down to, hey, we need some shooters and we need some wings that can run the floor. I mean, Tyrese Maxey's a guy that don't expect him to hit 35% a clip from three. He's a dribble drive guy. They need dribble drive guys. They desperately need guys that find a way to score off the dribble, right? And then you have a catch and shoot guy in Seth Curry. Danny Green, no one's expecting Danny Green to be Danny Green from 3 to 4 or 5 years ago. He struggled, no doubt, inside the bubble. But what you're going to get is a reputational scorer, or at least a shooter. And I think that goes a long way. And he understands the big moment. He'll play some defense. He'll hit a couple shots. And he won't get small in those big moments where they're looking for somebody to score in the final 5 minutes of a game. I think when you have that play into this with the confidence building that you want with Joel, as well as, you know, Ben, and let's see how Ben responds coming off the injury, it is a big step. I think the expectations are now we are more realistic than we were last year heading into the season, right? I thought we felt like we're going to take the next leap. No, right now we know that I think Brooklyn's going to be better than us. For my personal opinion, I would not give up a ton of assets to get James Harden.
Yeah.
I just wouldn't. I wouldn't.
As of right now, it doesn't seem like the best idea, but I do got to make a sharp right turn here. The Cleveland Browns just announced Myles Garrett is on the reserve COVID-19 list. And that's obviously 2 days ahead of kickoff right now. That's some breaking news. Adam Schefter just retweeted it as well from the Browns account. Obviously, leading sacker in the NFL right now. The Birds are going to have to avoid him at all costs. So that's a huge impact on this game on Sunday if he doesn't play.
Yeah, I guess. Because in the end, Myles Garrett has been calling the plays on the offensive side for the Eagles, and Myles Garrett isn't executing and throwing the football for the Eagles. And that's what this comes down to. I mean, honestly, like, guys, that Giants game, that took a lot of hope out. I've looked at this season in kind of a couple of turns, right? You know, after some disappointing losses and performances and after that Bengals game, the way I looked at it is this three-game stretch within the division, if they beat the Giants twice and the Cowboys, they would be 4-4-1. And then you could say, all right, they could suffer a few losses because they're going to be in a run for the next 4 to 5 weeks. And they're going to lose I mean, the reality is they're going to lose a whole bunch of games. So my hope was, all right, if we get to six, we get to seven, we've got a shot. Guys, coming off a bye, and what we saw on Sunday, come on. What are we hoping for from this team? The playoffs and then an embarrassment at home? They just haven't gotten better. Since the Super Bowl, they're two games above 500, and we are seeing the same thing. And I go through the same thing this entire city does. We can't wait. It's like we are in the movie Men in Black, right? And that little eraser comes up to us on Monday mornings after we get the whole game out of our system on Sunday. And then all week long, we can't wait. We can't wait till Sunday. And then the first series, it's like, oh, my God, I got to go through this again for the next 3 hours. And it's the same. Why is it so hard? Why is it like going to get a root canal to watch this offense? And then the minute this offense gets a drive, the defense then gives up a drive, and you're just yelling at Jim Schwartz. It is the same stuff over and over again. And we're doing this. It's Friday. And I'm with you, Mark. It's, oh, my goodness, Myles Garrett, and we've got hope. And then once kickoff happens, it's the same stuff. It's the same slop. It's the same stubbornness we're seeing from the freaking play caller and will not adjust things. It's the same mistakes from the fifth-year quarterback who then after the game says, well, I'm not going to change who I am, but I've got to play smarter. It's the same ridiculous thing. And, you know, injuries hurt. And we have seen, and I think they've damaged Carson Wentz over the last 2 years on how this team and this roster has been built, right? But the one thing I've noticed is the best time we've seen this offense is when the injuries happen to this team and they are forced to stick to an identity. And then when they get these extra weapons, suddenly it's like, oh, we don't know what to do. Let's just open up the playbook and let's just get, like, ridiculous play calling and nothing consistent. And that's the thing that drives me nuts. Like, the Washington game is a perfect example. They had a whole bunch of guys healthy, and they were just like, let's try this, let's try this, let's try this, instead of, hey, we know who we are, let's stick to the basics. And that's what we've seen in the past. When they've dealt with injuries, they stick to the basics. They don't stick to the basics. There's literally no rhythm. And then on Monday and Tuesday, we hear the same stuff over again from Peterson and Wentz. Oh, we've got to make adjustments. We like what we're doing. Guys, you see what I see. It shouldn't be this hard. And it's just the most frustrating thing, because since the Super Bowl, it feels like the quarterback wants to prove to everybody on every single play that he's the quarterback. And sometimes, actually many times, the head coach wants to prove that, hey, I was the guy that won the Super Bowl because I was bold and brave. How about we just play smart? How about we just make consistent decisions, play calling, and find a rhythm? And that's what's driving me crazy. And I think I'm not the only one here. We're banging our head on a wall here. And it's not just Doug. It's not just Carson. The GM has failed us the last 2 years with this draft. And I just don't know what else to do or what else to say. I'm going into this game after losing this past weekend of the Giants saying, hey, you know what? If the Giants won the division, it's their division, because what are we going to expect the rest of the year? I don't want to be negative, guys, but I just can't just keep doing this every single weekend where you're banging your head. You have this hope. You have this belief that they were going to turn the corner. We're going to look like 2017. Maybe this is the reality of who these guys are and what we have in front of us.
All right, Kev, I'm going to marry the two sports here, and I need an answer on both of them from you. Since the bubble ended, what is your favorite move that the Sixers have made since then to now? And then on the other side of it, you just mentioned a slew of disappointments with the Eagles. Who are you most disappointed in?
Wow, Bob, this is really good.
I used to ask questions for a living, Kev.
Can I just throw in Philly's ownership since the bubble? Because that we have turned into the Mets in that division, by the way.
Oh,
and the Mets
will
surpass us in the next 5 years. Or maybe in the next 2 years. So the one thing that I really like about what the Sixers have done is they've realized their weaknesses, and they realized they had to get a head coach that's going to hold the players accountable. And I love Brett, but Brett reached a point where now you have to go to the next level in the relationship with two superstars where you need to hold them accountable. And then when you have Daryl Morey come in, he knows the whole operation of, how do we flip draft picks? How do we unload salary? How do we play smart by small pieces, not just the big piece. We don't need the big piece every single day. We don't need the home run every single day. We need a couple of singles. And I think on draft night, we saw a couple singles, right? That gets you guys ducks on the pond, and then you bring the heavy hitter. And that's how you build and you turn around and rebuild what we had and where we're at. So I think the hiring of Morey, the hiring of Doc are two things hand in hand that I love about what the Sixers have done. We've got to wait and see how that produces on the field. As for the most disappointment for the Eagles, it comes down to Carson Wentz, guys. We see the talent. We see some of the amazing throws. And then we see some things where in year five that a rookie would make, and some of it's inexcusable. And I've gotten to that point where maybe this is the quarterback, not the 2017 guy. Maybe this is the guy that we have. Maybe this is who he is. And I feel bad because I've gone back to this. Maybe the injuries in the last 2 years and the issues with the line and the lack of explosive playmakers on the outside, maybe that has scarred him a little bit, where he just doesn't trust anybody on the field. And as a result, he just wants to make the play on every single play. and that's the most frustrating thing. You do not have to make the play on every single play. It's okay to check that. Here's a perfect example. What did we see the last 2 or 3 weeks from Russell Wilson, right? Yeah. Russell Wilson's a guy that makes plays, right? And that's his identity, but he has made some major mistakes that have cost the Seahawks. Last night, he realized, hey, it's okay to dump down. It's okay to have the ground attack. It's okay that we will not have a big play now, but we will set up the play action down the road. And as for one other thing, guys, we've gone through this. The best player on the Eagles right now is Miles Sanders. It is inexcusable against that Giants team. They had less than 20 touches. It's inexcusable, guys, especially when you look at the yards per clip that team had on the ground. Get him the football. Get the guy 25 to 30 touches. And that's kind of where I'm at. I thank you for letting me vent again.
You're the best.
Yeah.
I get so frustrated about it. I haven't even talked about the Phillies.
Yeah, no, I won't do that to you. Yeah. It's a Friday. I want you to have some enjoyment, my friend. Speaking with Kevin Agande, ESPN, joining us here on the Comcast Business Hotline, Bounce Forward. Last thing for me, Kevin, looking at everything that we see in front of us, if you're Doug Peterson, what would it take, in your opinion, what would it take for you to give up play calling?
Wow.
Yeah.
You know what? What would it take? That would be a conversation probably from above him saying, if this doesn't change, then you can't be the coach here.
It's a package deal. Head coach and play caller.
Stubbornness. I think there's a stubbornness here saying, hey, you need to relinquish the play calling down the road. And, you know, if Doug wants to play this out and he has the right to play this out for the rest of the season, if it doesn't produce results, then the serious conversation has to be, hey, you've got to now find a way to adjust because it's not working. And again, I go back to, I'm not making excuses for Carson because I used to be the biggest Carson Wentz defender. But I will say that he and Dan Orlovsky and I talk about this all the time. When you have multiple voices in your quarterback's ear and it should be just coming from a strong quarterback coach and you're not getting that type of production, what's going on is no one's holding him accountable on game day, right? After one or two massive mistakes where it's the quarterback's fault in year five, he needs to be held more accountable. And that's where I come with this. Is the head coach holding the quarterback more accountable? Is the quarterback holding himself more accountable going into this? And guys, I say all this stuff, right? But you know what's going to happen. Sunday, I'm going to be sitting there with hope because I love the Eagles. I bleed that green, that midnight green now. I bleed that, you know, the green back in the day that we all grew up on. The Kelly green, I just get so frustrated with it. I'm kind of setting myself up so I do not have heartbreak because I think Sunday's game showed me a lot that Giants team has a lot more passion that they're playing for Joe Judge than what this Eagles team is showing us, especially coming off a bye. They just weren't prepared, and there's no excuse for that.
Kevin, always great catching up with you, man. So, like, we're getting people tweeting us, just thanking you, thanking us for having you on, and it's our pleasure every single time. So, you know, we'll make a habit of this because we don't want to insult you. Talk to you Monday.
Love you guys.
Love you back, buddy.
And hopefully we're talking about a win and more positive things. In the meantime, we'll just persevere and stay safe. Talk to you, fellas.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.